The eyes of the world have been trained on the Winter Olympics as they kicked off over the weekend in Pyeongchang, South Korea. But there's a lot more going on around the world as well. And for a look ahead at the week's top international stories, we're joined now by our colleague at the BBC, Rich Preston. So, Rich, let's start with Iraq. The rebuilding of that country is the focus of talks in the Gulf state of Kuwait this week. So what's happening?
Well, Lauren, this is about jump-starting the rebuilding of areas that were captured by the Islamic State group. Now, those areas have been liberated, but were left nearly devastated. Large parts of cities like Mosul and Ramadi lie in rubble. Now, as well as being a humanitarian issue, there's also a security concern behind this. There's a real danger that poverty and desperation could lead people into the arms of radical groups like Islamic State. Now, this is being held in Kuwait, as you said, jointly run by the United Nations, the European Union, and the World Bank. Now, the foreign ministers of 70 countries will be there. Now, Iraq's government says that the country needs $100 billion for reconstruction. Our correspondent in the Iraqi capital is Rami Rahayam.
It has already started reconstructing some of the affected areas, but its budget is under severe strain after almost 4 years of heavy spending on war and aid to millions of displaced Iraqis, and at a time of falling oil prices.
That's the BBC's Rami Rahayam in Baghdad. Now, a spokeswoman for the US State Department has already indicated that the US will not be making any contributions. In an interview with the BBC earlier this morning, a former US ambassador to Iraq told us that the US had already spent $2 billion on humanitarian aid in the country, and that the efforts to defeat IS cost the US Defense Department some $40 billion. This conference started today, and it runs until Wednesday.
All right. And heads of state will be meeting in Germany this week also for a major security event. So fill us in on what that is and what we can expect to see come out of it.
Well, this is the Munich Security Conference, which starts on Friday, and it's seen as one of the most important security get-togethers in the world. Now, traditionally, it's about transatlantic relationships, bringing together European and American leaders. And it actually has a really interesting background. Its roots lie in a conference that started not long after the Second World War by a man called Ewald Heinrich von Kleist. Now, he was one of the German officers involved in the famous plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler using a briefcase bomb. Now, unlike his co-conspirators, von Kleist survived the war. And in an effort to prevent war ever happening again, he established what is now the Munich Security Conference. Our defence and diplomatic correspondent, Jonathan Marcus, will be there. I spoke to him earlier this morning and asked him what topics he expects to come up.
The revitalization of NATO, what is perceived as a growing threat from a more assertive Russia, that is obviously going to be an important element. I think Europe, its defence in the wake of a potential British Brexit, I think quite where the Trump administration is going. We've now seen a number of clear policy documents from the Trump administration in this field, a national security strategy review, the nuclear posture review more recently, and so on.
So that's one to watch out for this week, Lauren. The Munich Security Conference starts Friday and runs through the weekend.
All right. And finally, Rich, Lunar New Year's celebrations start this week, which is a major event across many Asian countries. So tell us more.
Yes, a significant holiday marked by billions of people around the world, including in China, Thailand, Singapore, Korea, and so on. But also, of course, people with roots in those countries now living elsewhere, including the US. Mm-hmm. Technically, it's a 15-day event marking the end of the lunar calendar and the start of the new year. Wan Yun Song is my colleague from the BBC's Chinese service. I spoke to her early this morning and asked what Chinese New Year was like for her growing up.
Eating dumplings on the New Year's Eve, making dumplings in the New Year's Eve afternoon, go to buy some decorations with my father and uncle, and we had a big family meal. You will visit your grandparents, some relatives, as a kind of visiting and reunion of the large family.
But there's some problems associated with this. Chinese New Year is the largest annual human migration in the world. Many companies will shut down completely. Now, some people obviously are expected to work to keep essential services going, but this year that includes miners. Now, a run of bad weather has led to a coal shortage in China, and many coal miners have been told they will be expected to work through the Lunar New Year to keep up with demand. So they're going to miss out on what for many is their only vacation and their only chance to get to see their distant family. Festivities for Lunar New Year will be starting the end of this week. I asked my colleague Wan Yun Song how people traditionally greet each other at this time of year.
The Happy New Year would be, we should be healthy and wealthy. Usually you would say to people that are elder, wish them have a long life. 恭喜发财,寿比南山. 身体健康,万事如意.
And with that, Lauren, a very happy Lunar New Year to any of your listeners celebrating over the coming days.
Thanks, Rich, and a happy Lunar New Year to you. The BBC's Rich Preston. Thanks so much as always.
Good to talk to you.